Off the Ball. GAA.
But I remember it came to a question and they asked about how Limerick would win. And I was like, Limerick will work 110% and we'll outwork any team. And if you are working at 100%, we're working at 110, 120. We won't be outworked.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, I think it's a big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy. Oh, he does really well.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Goal Out app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, my goodness.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
AB McCoy, 20-time champion jockey, over 4,000 winners. The Cheltenham Festival is just around the corner. For anybody who's never ridden a horse, remember when you spoke to me last year, you talk about your siblings never riding a horse in their lives. What is the thrill of riding a horse to win at Cheltenham like? Can you put it into words, AP? It's probably difficult to put it into words, but can you?
I don't know if you can put it into words. I think you're... I mean, for someone like myself that's from a non-racing family, it's impossible to try and to describe. But I do think that, you know, if you're lucky enough to come to Cheltenham and you win a Cheltenham Gold Cup or a Champion Chase or a Champion Hurl, whatever it may be, and you look up into the stands, you think, how lucky am I that they're all here to watch what's just happened? I think that's the great thing about sport. You know, you're able to go and perform in front of people, sometimes not always well, most of the time not always well, but when it does go well, there's nothing like it.
I was watching Mr. Mulligan there last week. I like watching all races back in 1997 Gold Cup, and you're in your early 20s and you win the Gold Cup, the greatest race, maybe apart from the Grand National. Mm. When you're riding a horse like Mr. Mulligan or Synchronized or Brave Ink or Binocular, is there a certain feel that you're getting in the race that you're thinking to me, this horse is really buzzing, this horse is really going? Is there a certain kind of feeling you're getting?
Well, Mr. Mulligan was a funny one because I had just started riding for Martin Pipe at the beginning of October. And I'd got the ride of Mr. Mulligan and the King George. He actually fell at the last when one man won. And I remember sending all the chance. I'd never ridden. I rode Beach Road in the Gold Cup the year before because Toby Balding kindly ran him at 100-1. He used to give me a ride in the Gold Cup. But I, when he fell in the King George, I thought, this feels to me like a horse. He'd been second in the Sun Lions Chase the year before. And I just thought to myself, this horse could win the Gold Cup. And I remember sending it to Noel Chance. And, you know, I'd really like to ride him again. And I was obviously riding for Martin Pipe at the time. He had a few runners in the Gold Cup, and I asked him, could I ride Mr. Mulligan? And I was actually trying to think back, because obviously I know the way you're thinking, won last year's Gold Cup, and he fell in his last run at Leopardstown. I don't know if there's been many, I don't know, but I think Mr. Mulligan didn't run from Kempton until the Gold Cup. And so it can be done, but no feeling like it. Like Mr. Mulligan, I don't know if I appreciated it enough. Like I think it was 22 or something at the time, you know what I mean? I don't know if I, 23 it was. It was about, no, it was 22. I don't know if I really appreciate it enough. I actually thought, because I'd won the Champion Hurdle a couple of days earlier to make a stand, and I won the Arkell on Oroyal. And I thought that this is just the way it's, you know, I'm going to rock up here every day and win the Gold Cup. And it wasn't until the synchronised won it, however many years later, that I realised how difficult it was to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So there is no race like the Gold Cup. This year's Gold Cup probably as open as there's been in as long as I can remember. So they have a lot to look forward to, the people that come here.
How would you ride Mashburn? Because last year the Oracle didn't go his way, but last day he jumped out of Leopardstown. Do you think that it's going to be a tougher challenge for him now in the champion chase?
I think it'll be easier for him. Right. Very easy. I just go flat to the board. And I think if he'd have went flat out in the Oracle last year, he'd have been so far clear he could have made as many mistakes as he wanted. I think the key to, I think, is to jump out and go flat out. That would be how I'd ride Mashburn in the champion chase, because he's such a high cruising speed. He'd get everything out of the comfort zone. He'd get any horse out of the comfort zone. And you know, he made mistakes last year, but I think if he'd gone really fast last year, he'd have got away with them. He'd have been so far ahead that he'd still have won. So I think the champion chase, that's the kind of race that you I won it. I was only won one champion chase in Edward Dunblow. He wasn't a brilliant champion chaser, but he was a very good jumper, and he got horses out of the comfort zone that tried to keep with him. And he won a champion chase because he was a good jumper, not because he was a brilliant horse. He was a very good horse. I think Marsh was a very, very good horse that would get every horse out of its comfort zone.
How do you assess the champion hurdle, AP? We got the new line in there, brighter days ahead. Maybe Lossie Mouth will run. Poneros is in there. Obviously, Constitution Hill is not running.
It's a very open champion hurdle. I think the new lion is probably the, you know, probably the one you'd probably choose. He could pick plenty of holes in his form. He fell in Newcastle. He, you know, wasn't that impressive when he won here in Trials Day. You look at the horse that have won the Faheen, Istabrak, Hardy Houston's horse that won the 2.5 mile race and come back and won the champion hurdle. You know, he may not be any different than them. I don't know. I don't think there's much between the three mares, even Golden Ace, Brighter Days Ahead, and Lossie Mouth. I wouldn't even know which one of the three I'm to ride. And you know, so I think I'd ride the new lion because I wouldn't know which one of the other three to ride. I think the new lion just might win just because he might be better than the three mares.
We got Tio Poo and Bob Allinger in the Stairs Hurdle with a few English challengers as well. How do you look at that one?
I think Tio Poo's a very good horse. He's been here three times, only won them once. I'd be slightly concerned the ground's drying a lot. I wouldn't be surprised by, you know, I think later in the week it's definitely going to need water. I think the new course is going to need water for sure. I think Honesty Policy might, you know, I thought he ran okay at Ascot. There's probably not much between Tio Poo and Bob Allinger. I'd probably take a chance with the ground drying out and Honesty Policy.
I remember speaking to you last year and you're talking about how much you love John Bond, and there's novice hurdles and there's novice chases and there's a bumper. Is there any other horse out there outside of the championship races that you're really excited about?
No, I mean, I'm sure like Factor File is going to be a pretty short price in the Ryanair if he runs there. And you know, you look at the novice hurdle, I think the first race is a brilliant race. I think Old Park Star is a very short price favourite, but he's got a lot of opposition. You know, you speak to Gordon Elliott and you speak about Alcaraz being as quick a horse as they've had, you've got to respect that. You know, you think about what Willie's going to run if Mighty Park runs, he's meant to be, you know, a bit different than a lot of other horses. If Talk the Talk runs, a brilliant opener. So, and then you have the Arkle, you know, you look at Copac de Bourg and the Lumba and all that. There's any number of horses you like to ride. But if you ask me, would I like to ride one horse at the Cheltenham Festival, it would be Marsh, but all day long, because I'd love to ride a horse like that in the Cheltenham Chase.
You spoke about Mr. Mulligan there. You're in your early 20s and you're suddenly catapulted into fame. You're on the television. You become a champion jockey 20 times. How did you manage the fame? Did you find it easy to be a public figure and to let people like be supporting you, looking for your autograph, that kind of thing?
Do you know what? I think you're in a very lucky position. I think I was very lucky. I don't think I ever done a day's work in my life. I lived the dream. I never thought about doing it. I never thought about doing it for money. I never thought about doing it for fame. I loved riding, I loved winning, I loved going to, no disrespect, I loved going to Sedgefield, I loved going to Carlisle, wherever it may be, Fontwell, all around the country. I loved winning at Cheltenham, no question I loved winning at Cheltenham, but I loved riding, so, you know, so it doesn't, you know, I think sport is about winning, and as long as you keep winning, then that's the most important thing.
I saw on your social media yourself a picture with Tiger Woods. What was it like to play golf with Tiger?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, you got to, you know, you admire people who are dominant in sport. You know, I don't think anyone has ever had, you know, the impact on a sport like Tiger Woods had in golf. you know, so you look at all those, you know, I like high achieving people. It's not easy. I think you can have all the talent in the world, but for those people who do it for a long, long period of time, I think they have a work ethic that I think, you know, I think they have something inside that makes them, you know, a little bit different. I think that they have all the, you know, everyone probably looks from the outside in and thinks, oh God, what a great life they have, but I don't think they're ever content. I don't think they ever get what they want, because they can never, because they want everything, don't they? You know, that's why they're as good as they are. So, much and all as you'd love it, I don't think you're ever content.
Did you see his immense talent up close and go, wow, that's unbelievable?
Yeah, it is different. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can see why, you know, and there's very few people in the world, you know, in any walk of life that can walk somewhere and think, like, he's different than everyone else, you know? And what makes him different than everyone else is that he won more than everyone else. He was better than everyone else. So you can have all the opinions in the world, but, you know, a lot of people will say, obviously, Jack Nicklaus, whatever. But in modern times, you know, I don't think there's ever been, you know, those type of people who've dominated sport or whoever young person you look up to.
You reached the top AP. How do you find retirement a decade on? Do you find it easy to live
with? It's very different. You know, I think what I would say to every young sports person is that you should enjoy every moment that you're able to do it, because... And a lot of people, I often said, a lot of people, I do genuinely think that sports people are the only people who die twice. You know, it's a completely different life when you stop doing what you do, because you live in a little bubble that's different. You know what I mean? You think it's not the real world. And then when you stop, it is the real world. And the real world isn't anywhere near as much fun.
Are Arsenal taking up a lot of your mental space at the moment?
Yeah, they're doing well. I mean, it's much easier to watch them than it was 5 years ago.
Do they make you nervous?
No, I think they've got a lot of character about them. Man City are a very good team. They're multiple winners. They're going to be very hard to beat. But I do think what they have, they've built up a very good squad, and they have a very good culture among them. And when you get people like Declan Rice and that look like they have it, you know what I mean? And that's what you need. You need people who look like they have it, and hopefully they'll get it done.
Final question, what do you think the storyline is ahead of Cheltenham 2026? I mean, a bigger British challenge this year and some brilliant races to look forward to.
What do I think about the head of it? Who knows? I mean, it always throws up stories. You know, you've come here over the years and see different things, whether it be, you know, lots of brilliant horses. I was very lucky that I see, you know, whether it be Best Mate or Istabrak or however many brilliant horses. If you're me personally, I think Marsborough is a bit different, and I'd love to see him win the championship.
AB McCoy, you're always a gent. Thanks for speaking to Off the Ball here on News Talk, and enjoy Cheltenham 2026.
Will do. Thank you.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.